Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes podcast. I'm Zach Oyama and I'm here with Jasper William Cartwright.
Hello,
hi, Jasper.
Everyone. Hi, Zach.
Look, we're halfway through. We're gearing up for part two of episode four. And things just got steamy?
A little steamy indeed. There's lots like, there's some strangeness happening in this lab, and I'm like, I feel like there's going to be some mysteries. And also, Turbine might pass out again, because I think this is all too much for Turbine.
It's a kid in a candy shop, or a little artificer in a... Mm. I don't know, a
whatever this is.
Store.
Is there anything that you think from your... youth that would have elicited a similar level of excitement to what Turbine has for the obelisk?
If like, I got to go, this is Zach as a little kid. Mm. If I got to go to like Nintendo headquarters or something like that,
sure.
That's where Zach is hyperventilating.
Sure, I feel like it's even worse than that though. It's like you going through a tube, you know, go like beep 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 beep, mm-hmm. or whatever down a tube and being in like Super Mario World or something. Like that's what I feel like is the
equivalent, that's true.
Really.
Mario is real and he is my friend.
Yeah. That's what Turbine's experiencing right now, and it's unfortunately is voiced by Chris Pratt, so slightly less exciting. Yeah. I think
I should clarify when I say steamy, it's literal steam. It's there's no romance happening in this moment.
No, truly.
Well, let's get back into the adventure now. Take it away, Pass Zach.
Take it away, take it away, take it away, take it away.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Last time, Turbine, Brenda Elizabeth, and Astrid, or as you might call them, our team, started with their world tumbling down around them, or at least the elevator floor. Our team fell through the entire length of the obelisk, following the falling elevator floor as it eventually smashed into the lobby, revealing the dark underbelly below the obelisk. With the help of Tradix's Modrons, they were able to dodge EMP blasts and spilling oil to land safely in the endless pile of tubes seemingly infecting the Bonbur mines. While figuring out their next move, they heard a scream and saw a twin in a tube rocketing off into one of the mine shafts. Thanks to Turbine's locate object, they followed the magical energy of a greasy rat tail clip to a warforged lab of horrors filled with scrap tech, goop, and as you listen on, like you can hear these like whirring noises. It also seems to be a Warforged robot, but wearing a cloak.
So you're saying as he's working in his lab late one night, our eyes are beholding an eerie sight.
No, don't say it.
Is this some kind of monster mash situation?
It's a monster mash.
Trap, please.
Are you saying it's a graveyard smash?
I'm saying that's exactly what it is. It's going to catch on in a flash if we don't do something.
No!
But without, I mean, trying not to get DMCA'd. But without knowing...
My aim in this podcast is to get Zach sued so badly.
By the writer of please. Monster Mash.
But you see this purple hooded figure that also presumably... It feels Warforged in nature, working on something, another like assistant Warforged working with them. And then out of a pneumatic tube nearby, another figure spits out and lands like a three-point landing, like kind of like they're pretty like dexterous, sort of a superhero pose, and then stands up. It's also wearing a purple cloak, and it says to the first one, "The preparations are almost complete. Status report on the upcycling." the first guy who's working on the slab says, inquiry 423118 and 423119 did not sustain charge, sorted to failure, though rarity has occurred. Inquiry 423120 maintains a full charge, sorted to success, and will proceed with reprogramming. Understood. Finish up the process on the other materials and then destroy the abomination. He points to something in the corner, and you realize he's pointing to the de-domesticator, the thing that was in the Sphinx's presentation. Hmm. As he points to that to tell the other one to destroy it, the first one like holds up their own hand and it has like a purple crackling energy. And he says, tests to reroute and apply the technology have failed. I have concluded a chaotic device such as that should not be allowed and will destroy it. I will remove it after attempting to upcycle the next inquiry. You look on the like he steps to the side and you see on the table a groggy looking Noah the dwarf is lying on the slab. And and he says, he's still dumber. And he says, I'm almost 100% positive that this is not my house. You can make a perception check if you want.
Yes, please.
To get a closer look at it.
Yeah. Love a perception check.
Shout out
check.
To the two crew.
I got a 13.
I also got a 13, but I do a pirouette when I roll.
I can also, I have invisibility as a racial trait I can cast Ooh. Once a day. So maybe I'll cast invisibility on myself and like, sneak down there to see what else I can see.
Cool. Okay. Astrid, you've turned invisible at this point. You guys can make a perception check right now if you'd like.
Yeah.
If you're trying to find anything in particular at the room.
I'm trying to look for a way to get into where that glass room with all the people locked in are.
They're in like a goop, right?
Yeah,
they're in like a yeah. It's like basically sealed with the tunnel, like oh, so okay. You can't actually get inside that area.
It's
almost looks
sealed
like an
everywhere.
Assembly line.
Can I look to see if there's any? If I know my goop containers, like I think I do, there's usually some kind of lever you can pull that will spill out all the goop and the contents within. Can I look to see if there's any sort of goop lever?
There's some kind of mechanism on the front of the container, but it's pretty. It's like a few feet away from the Warforge guys working on stuff. This guy's also about to cut into Noah.
Oh,
okay. FYI. Any other checks you want to make before going in?
Every room we've been in here so far has been had like bits of machinery spitting oil or spitting sparks or things like that. Is there anything like that perhaps situated near any of these Warforge guys?
You don't see any traps in here. The room just looks sort of like this like makeshift lab underground.
Okay, in which case, I'm invisible. Can I sneak up to this Warforge guy and like pull his hood down over his face so he suddenly can't see anything? Like jump on his back and pull his hood down?
Yeah, he will probably just move. Mechanically, that's nothing.
Well, no, I just want to stop. I just want to essentially grapple him to stop him from cutting into Noah.
Oh, okay.
We're going to attack right now, right? I'm not misreading this
Are
situation.
We? Okay, if that's the case,
Brenda,
then... Oh, sorry, go on.
Sorry, Brenda Elizabeth, make a perception check if you don't mind.
That is a dirty 20.
Okay, you notice that the larger form in the goop pit seems to have four legs. And maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
It has a certain familiar shape.
I say to everyone, get out fast into the fucking pit. I'm going in. Everyone, let's get a fucking sneak attack round and fucking do this.
Woo!
Pardon my language, Grandpa Brendan.
You feel just a little bit of guilt somewhere in you. Cool. All right. If you want to make a sneak attack around, go for it.
Right before we do, I'm going to go into my archer form before we take the sneak attack round. And then I'll use my, whenever we take sneak attack round, I'll use everything that I have on that guy and then just jump right in where Galvez is. That would be my personal
plan.
Okay,
he's still in the goop thing that you can't get into, unfortunately.
Oh, you can't get into it. Okay.
Just so to be clear about what you guys see, there's the two cloaked figures and one like assistant-y looking guy. Those are the only three like bad guys it seems like there are in this room.
Cool.
Yeah, let's roll initiative and then you'll take the sneak attack and then we'll go into initiative. So everybody just roll.
15.
It's a 17.
Ooh, that's a 22.
You guys all have a sneak attack on these three guys. Whoever wants to go first can go first. You can coordinate however you like.
I'd like to start by casting motivational speech.
Is that feat?
No, it's a spell, but I love the wording of it. You address allies, staff, or innocent bystanders to exhort and inspire them to greatness, whether they have anything to get excited about or not.
I love the idea that you're going to whisper a motivational speech.
I know. Well, that's what I was asking about. Like, it's like, this is a stellar, it's like, so what is the logic of this? Does this make sense?
Okay, everybody. This is what we've all been, we've been through a lot together. But Astrid, this is really important.
Our friends are in the goop.
Our friends are here. Our friends are about to get sliced into. So I say it's time.
And I like bring out the hurdy-gurdy and like start to like
guiding bolt the hurdy-gurdy.
I break the hurdy-gurdy in half.
Well, you get the point.
Tranix is like, yeah, I'm probably just going to hang back, but also, come on, man.
So what this does is everyone who I targeted who can hear me, so I'll say probably Noah can't. Can Noah hear me? I can target up to five people. So myself, the three of us, obviously, Tradix, and then if I'm allowed Noah, I'll throw him in there too, but I can see the logic for not.
You can try. He's like bolted to a table. He may or may not be able to do anything.
Sure. For the duration of the spell, you all get 5 temporary hit points, and you have advantage on wisdom saving throws. Ooh. And if you're hit by an attack, you get advantage on your next attack roll.
And,
whoa, that's really good.
But if you lose those 5 temporary hit points, the spell ends for you.
Okay.
So as long as you have those 5 HP, you have those abilities.
Or any, probably even if you have one of them left over.
Yes, correct. Yeah. If you lose those 5 HP, the spell ends for you.
Great.
Tranix is like, I'm just going to hide unless it gets bad.
Come on, man. I just inspired you to greatness.
Pick up Tradix and throw him towards the Warforged.
Maybe what you need is a little song.
I guiding bolt another instrument out of
it. I'm running out of instruments.
Cool. So that's Turbine's turn, his surprise turn. Next up, Brynn Elizabeth, what do you do?
Okay. I am going to try to actually use a guiding bolt. Those were just joke uses. I didn't actually use.
Yes.
I'm now going to actually guiding bolt freaking the one who's about to slice down on Noah.
Cool.
It's probably going to miss. Does an 11 hit?
An 11 misses.
Damn. Okay, I'm still going to do my bonus, because I went into my archer mode before we started our sneak attack round, so I will do my bonus attack with my archer thing. That's also gonna fucking miss!
All right.
Damn.
That's
brutal.
It.
Brutal. Okay, so that guy's working on the table, and two things whiz by him before he kind of even has a chance to react. Astrid, what do you do? You're invisible.
I'm invisible. Yes. Okay, I'm going to hit this guy that's trying to kill Noah. First one is a 10. I'm assuming that's not going to hit.
You have a... are you in rage? Are you using reckless attacks?
I'm not in rage because I'm invisible. Oh, but I guess as soon as I hit him, I'll come out of invisibility anyway, so I might as well go into a rage.
You're still surprising him if you come out of invisibility and go into a rage and attack.
Yes, great. So I will come out of invisibility, I'll go into a rage, and I will attack him.
Sorry. Okay, cool.
Great.
Roll your attacks.
Okay, so I got a 10 on the first one, and then on the second one, I got a 18.
Cool, that hits.
Great, the second one hits. 9 damage. To him.
9 damage.
And can I
sneak up behind?
Oh no, that's probably this is probably too much. I was gonna say, can I like, does Noah have like wires or anything like coming, like how is Noah's like passed out on this table, right?
Yeah, he seems pretty useless. If he, like, just looking at him, he's just like dazed, very confused. Dazed and confused.
Okay, great.
So you did 9 damage.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's the surprise around. Now we're going into initiative. You guys all rolled really well. Turbine, it's your turn. Because you rolled a 22, right?
Yes, I did. Cool. Well, I might as well come in swinging. Actually, now I'm going to do the exact opposite of what I just said. I'd say we're all fighting these guys. Can you just remind me, is there anything I can see over here that anything to like focus more on rescuing these folks instead of fighting these folks first? Is that a thing I can do?
Yeah, I mean, you can roll an insight check on that and see what feels right.
Yeah, sure. Let's roll that. That's a 6.
Yeah, I think it's you're feeling dumb and confused. This is really advanced.
Sure. All right.
You're looking at the front of the tank, and it has like a kind of like what looks like the keyhole or whatever is. It just doesn't even look like an instrument you understand.
Sure. I think I'm just going to come out swinging and cast Shatter on these fuckers. That targets every creature within a 10-foot radius sphere on a point that I center. Can I center that in such a way that it doesn't hit Astrid, or will that hit Astrid no matter what?
I think you could do it without hitting Astrid, but you might hit Noah. I think you can get two of them without hitting. I don't think you can get all three with that. So I think you could hit two of them, like, off to the side.
Got it. If I'm trying to, like, keep Noah safe, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you, but...
I love that you go from whispering a motivational speech to screeching and...
Okay, we're all set. And fight!
Oh, it's so loud. Oh, God. My eardrums.
So I'll go ahead, and then I'll target two of them. I'll target... There's like, the two cloaks and then, like, the little Igor, that's you said?
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one little more pathetic one and two more formidable looking.
And they're all, like, Warforged-y kind of folks?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I'll target the weaker looking ones if I have a choice here. And so I will do that.
Oh, and this guy in front of me also kind of has to keep attacking me because of my ancestral guardians.
Oh, cool.
If he hits anybody else, he does it with disadvantage.
Okay, cool. Does that change what I just said? Or are you reinforcing what I just said?
Yeah, so you should go for... I can take care of this guy. You go for the other guys.
Cool. So I'm going to do that. Those two must make a constitution saving throw. As a side note, a creature made of inorganic materials such as stone, crystal, or metal has disadvantage on this saving throw.
Ooh!
Oh, nice. Okay.
And you will take 3d8 thunder damage on a failed save or half as much on a successful one.
Damn. Okay. Let's see what they get. All right, so you're going to hit one of the beefier guys and one of the Igor-y guy because she's fighting the other one. So they rolled a 6 and a 2. So without even doing disadvantage, they both fail.
Okay.
Roll damage.
That is not bad. That is 16.
16 damage?
16 wow. Damage.
Yeah. Okay.
3d8.
That's a second level spell, baby.
Crank that hurdy-gurdy so fast, sparks start flying. Whisper everyone, okay, we're going to do it.
Yeah! Oh, don't tell you a tale of an astronaut. Brenda Elizabeth and her horse.
You said it was 16?
16, yes.
Cool. I mean, you've attacked twice now. These guys are, I guess they're just not, they've been down here for so long, they're not used to anyone coming in this room. and so Turbine steps up, feeling kind of dumb, powering through that, just spins his hurdy-gurdy, and just this explosive concussion of energy blast through at these two Warforged guys, badly damaging one and hurting one pretty bad that was more formidable. His like cloak kind of gets ruptured more, and you see more of his metallic form. This guy's cut.
Oh, damn.
Big, tough looking robot guy.
Is wow. He like, does he have organic like fucking muscles, or is it like robotic muscles?
It's robotic muscles designed to look organic.
I never thought I needed to see a metal nipple.
These are my nipples. And I tried to cover them with my cloak.
They're like Christmas lights.
Yeah. It works really well.
Until he slashes through my cloak.
He's so mad at
That's right. And don't you forget the name Turbine Spizzles Inc.
Turbine Spizzles Inc. Turbine Spizzles Inc. Turbine Spizzles Inc.
Just trying to remember it. Brenda Elizabeth, that is your turn.
Okay. I'm going to try once again, another guiding bolt. I'm going to go on the super cut guy, okay. Aiming away from his beautiful metal nipples.
So two of them are pretty cut. The two guys with cloaks are both equally cut.
I'm going for the one that's cut and turbine hit.
Okay, cool.
And I got a 21 to hit.
Roll damage. Yeah, that hits.
Okay, so that's a guiding bolt. I didn't roll that well, but it is 9, 10, 11. So 11 radiant damage. And then I will now roll with advantage because of the guiding bolt with my little archer arrow.
Ooh, yes.
Okay, so I got a fucking 26. No, I'm an archer now, so a 29.
Nice.
What? You rolled a 29?
I rolled a 19. Oh, no. So, holy yeah, 28. Shit. Pardon me. 28 to hit. And then that's another 8 damage.
So 11 and 8?
Yeah. So 19 damage.
Wow. Okay. So he is going to use his reaction to try to catch one of these.
To catch the guiding bolt?
One of them is an arrow, right?
Oh, yeah. One of them is like my little archer arrow, essentially. I think it's like technically magical because it's like it's like a druid thing, but.
Okay. He turns around and he tries to like catch it and gets fucking hit in the face with two arrows that are made of light.
Sparkles, actually.
Stunning.
And then how fucked up does he look?
This guy has taken 35 points of damage and still looks not on death's door by any means.
Not on death's door. All right, I'm gonna hold on to. I'm gonna stop there.
Hale and hearty.
Yeah.
Cut.
Oh, I'm saying he's not on death's door. Was that clear?
Yeah. If he was closer to death, I might have action surge, but he's not. So
gotcha.
I'm just
okay. Cool. Ready. He's pretty sturdy, so he takes those two arrows and clocks where it came from, and he's like, "I've collected new data now. I know that won't happen again." And just sort of like
you nerd.
Learning is cool.
I agree, actually.
I agree. Specifically about horses. Do you like horses?
I love them. In fact, we're about to work on one now.
That's why I'm here.
he just almost, it's a robot, but he looks like he's smiling. After Bryn Elizabeth, it is the these two cloaked figures' turn.
Come at me, you coward. If he doesn't attack me, he attacks with disadvantage, and the person who he's attacking has resistance if he hits.
Okay, cool. Well, this one's going to turn around and just attack you because you're attacking it. That makes sense. and he's just going to make an unarmed strike, but his hand is like kind of glowing with this gray energy.
Sure.
The other guy has sort of this purple energy in his hand. Let's see what this does.
I quickly sketch this. Pardon me, doodle.
He rolls a nat one.
Yes. I stamp on his feet.
He doesn't hit you at all, but he makes two more unarmed strikes.
Oh, God.
This is a General Grievous situation.
What's your armor class, Astra?
17.
Okay. Misses. Okay, so he makes three really bad wild
that, I'm just like ducking and weaving, like that dexterity of a tiny person just moving around his stupid punches.
It feels like this guy's been like working at a desk all day and then like had to turn around and make three attacks.
Against a child. You're attacking a child! Oh, I'm a child!
My elbow popped. After that, the other one is going to, I think, make an attack at Astrid as well.
Mm.
Because you're the only one closer.
Yes.
Okay, that will hit. That will hit.
Mm-mm.
I like it. You're.
That misses.
I'm telling my father, and that's my favorite thing to do.
Oh, no. Okay. So you get hit for... You take 14 points of damage.
Ouch.
As the second monk comes up to you and pops you twice.
Great, half to 7, right? Because I'm raging?
Yes. Half to 7.
But you'll lose the motivational speech now. Yeah.
And so now you get an advantage on an attack? Is that...
Well, she lost the spell, so I was sitting here trying to figure out like how that would work. I think...
When would you take less than 5?
That's what I was thinking. It's like, you'd have to be hit, but you'd have to take less than 5 points of damage. Like, that seems like a rarity, but I guess it could happen. You can tell me how you...
It seems like it doesn't make sense if it's that. So, like, I guess you would have advantage and the spell's gone. That's what it seems like to me.
Sure.
Right?
I would bet that you don't get the wisdom saves anymore, but you do get, like, once you lose it, once you take damage that first time, any next attack would have advantage. That'd be my guess.
Cool. So that's those two guys' turn. And now, Astrid, it's your turn.
Great. I guess I'll keep hitting the guy that I hit. And I am going to attack recklessly this time.
Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah, so the first one I rolled a 23. And then the second one I rolled a 19.
Okay, both of those will hit. Roll damage.
Okay, I got 10 on one and 16 on the other.
Damn. Okay, so wait, which one are you attacking, by the way?
The one that I had already attacked. Wait, can I do one on one and one on the other so they keep on attacking me?
Yeah, you can do that.
Great. So I'll do 10 on the new one and 16 on the one I already hit. Is there anything on the floor that's like dangerous looking? I have this feat crusher where once per turn if you hit a creature with an attack that deals bludgeoning damage, you can move it 5 feet to an unoccupied space.
There's like some cables and stuff, but these guys feel pretty dexterous, and there's not like, a spike on the ground.
There's not, okay.
There's no workplace hazards.
I guess I'll push one of them 5 feet back just for lols, because I have the feet.
Okay.
Do they make any kind of save?
No, they just move 5 feet back into an unoccupied space.
Okay, so a guy just like flies back like a Dragon Ball Z character getting punched in the stomach. Cool.
And so now, next time, if they don't attack me, they have disadvantage.
Oh, okay.
So they have to keep attacking me.
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah.
Next up is the more dinky guy who's like sees all this happening and I think is gonna go after who would he go after?
Come at me, you coward. Fight me.
He's like, he saw you push like one of his bosses away 5 feet and he's like, I'll come after you next. and he goes over to Turbine and tries to punch Turbine in the face.
Hey, no, wait.
Cool. So he's going to make two attacks on Turbine.
Two?
Does a 14 hit?
My AC is 13.
Cool. So he hits you twice.
Aw.
You take 16 points.
Yikes!
Ooh!
All right, well, I'm going to lose those temp HP. So that's 5 out there, and then I'll lose 11 more damage.
Cool. We're back at the top of the order. Everyone in this tank is still screaming and thrashing. if people want to make perception checks, they can.
I mean, I'll make a perception check if you're offering.
Yeah, I thought that we couldn't do anything with the tank.
I got it.
I just crit on my perception check.
Yes.
So, Brynn Elizabeth, you can see into the tank. You know you can't really open it easily. That would be pretty involved, and it would feel like you might get attacked in the back if you were doing something like that, and maybe not succeed. But you're looking into the tank, and you see a couple of forms. You notice that you see what looks to be Bink, Bonk, and Raider. You see the other two dwarves that were with Noah. You see Noah on the table, and you see Galfas in the tank. You know that's Galfas.
It's killing me that I don't have, that I used my Misty Step for the day, and that I couldn't just Misty Step in to be reunited with Galfas.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's killing me.
What you do notice with this is that... like if you're thinking of it in terms of the candidates that, or the, you know, the people, the job interviewers, you don't see the two halflings or Mop anywhere.
Huh.
But it seems like they're just not in this room. But you do see three robotic forms on a table.
Oh, okay.
They look to be a similar size to certain people you met before.
So when you say there's three robotic forms on a table, are those the three robotic things that we're fighting right now, or there's three more tables?
There's three more on a table. They're not fighting.
Okay, I see.
Wow. Can Brent Elizabeth still be attracted to Bonk if he's a robot?
Bonk is in the goop, right?
Yeah, he's in the goop. He's not.
Bonk's in the goop.
But who knows?
I would like to telepathically communicate, as we've established, that I could telepathically communicate with Galfas and just say, Galfas, I'm here for you. Look out for Bonk if you can. Priority number one.
Galfas is just going, Goop! Ah!
Articulate as ever.
Help! I'm in goop! Thrashing about.
I hope those are not Galfas' last words.
Goop, help, no! I'm in help! Brynn Elizabeth, Turbine, that's your turn.
I guess I'll take advantage of this the last bit of advantage I have from getting hit by that guy. I'm gonna hit him back.
Yeah.
The guy just hit me. So let's see. I'm gonna try to do that. I'm gonna roll. This is just a straight. I'm sorry, it's been so long since I've done this. It's just a straight 20, right? That I'm rolling here.
Yes, and then you add your rapier to it.
Ah, great.
That is, I have advantage on that. The first one is a total of 15, and my second roll is a total of 21. One of those has got to hit.
Okay, yeah, you hit this, like, assistant bot. How much damage do you do, sir?
Let's see. There's a five, not that much.
Okay. You hit him for five. You guys look, just compared to Astrid fighting these two, like, cut
just nerd fight
monks with their nipples out, you and this little guy are fighting. He's like, you got in the way of the plans. I should get a cloak one day, and I have to stop you. And gets hit in the stomach. He doesn't move back 5 feet, but he kind of slides back just to make it seem more impressive. That's the end of your turn, unless you want to give anybody any...
I'm all out of my bardic inspirations, so I don't think I have any more actions I can take. I guess I could run away or something. I can move, right? Can I? But there's nothing to move towards, really.
Yeah, I mean, that guy would maybe get an attack of opportunity. That seems like...
I'll just hang.
Okay, cool. That's Turbine's turn. Brenda, Elizabeth, that is your turn.
Okay, I am going to... I'm going to Guiding Bolt. I guess I'll just... I feel like he's a dinky guy, but I'm going to go for it. I'm going to Guiding Bolt this guy that is fighting Turbine. That is a nat one, but I'm a halfling, so I get to roll it.
Nice.
Ooh.
Arguably lucky.
That's going to be a 16 plus 7 is going to be a 23.
Okay, that definitely hits.
Okay. So he takes 11 damage.
He's badly hurt.
Okay, then I will use my little archer thing. 18.
On the second one?
Does it hit? Yeah.
Yes, that hits.
Okay. 9. 9 damage.
So the first one makes this assistant bot sort of stagger. It looks up, it's trying to, like, maintain its focus, and then the second one buries itself deep into its forehead. You see its lights flicker out, and it just crumples to the ground dead.
Yeah!
One down.
And yes. Then I turned my glimmering, sparkling arrow onto the nippled guy.
He self-consciously covers his nipples with the shreds
of
his
sorry,
cloak.
I didn't understand. I wasn't trying to look at it.
It's not about that. It's not about that. He picks up a screwdriver and just pops off his nipples.
Ew! Wow! As a girl who recently ripened into a woman, that makes me cringe.
Horrible. Horrible for me to hear, even as a Warforged bot.
Turbine is just staring at those nipples like they make the best souvenir. He's like, I gotta get those nipples.
Free the nipple. After Brenda Elizabeth, these two monks are going to go, or these two robed guys are going to go. First one's going to take three attacks at Astrid.
Yes.
Okay.
And I attacked recklessly, so they attack with advantage.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Still one miss, but we'll see if these are crits. Okay. So two hits, no crits. You're very lucky that this guy didn't crit, because that's why they're interesting.
Oh, no. I also do good things if I crit. It's not, they're not special.
Not like this, though. I didn't crit, though. 15 halved.
Great. So that's another 7.
Second guy is going to try to attack you as well.
Great.
All right.
I love
first
it.
Attack.
Pay attention to me. I don't care what kind of attention it is as long as it's attention.
17 is your armor class. So yes. One hit. Another hit. Another hit.
Oof.
Okay, so you get hit 3 times.
Ow.
24 damage.
Great, so 12.
All right, barbarians take so much damage.
Take a licking, like, and keep on ticking, right?
Yeah, I have...
Kicking?
I currently have 39 hit points.
We used the data, and it felt like it would be cooler if we attacked you and crit, but we didn't crit, so experiment failed. That's their turn. Next up is Astrid.
Great. I mean, I guess I'll attack recklessly against these guys again. Do either of them look like if I do 2 attacks against them, they'll be down?
The one that initially Turbine had been attacking, yeah, one of them does.
Great. So I'll go after that guy.
The one who still has his nipples.
Yes, the benippled guy. I hit 23 to hit.
Okay.
13 damage to him. How's he looking?
Really, really, really fucked
great.
Up.
Great, and then I'll go for him again.
But still standing.
Does a 16 hit?
His armor class is 16, so that does hit.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And that is just 7.
Your second hit dumbs this guy, shattering his skull. He was like, he was about to say, "I will always remember Astrid Starborn," but he didn't say it. Instead, he got his head smashed.
Great. I pull off his nipples and use them as earrings.
How did you do that so fast, my brother?
They weren't even pissed before. I just did it. I can't feel anything. I'm so full of adrenaline.
So there's this last guy standing after Astrid. The other guy's dead. Yes. Okay, so we're going back to the top. That guy's looking at a tunnel like he might try to escape. Turbine, it's your turn.
I'm going to cast Suggestion on that guy. I'm going to cast him and like, it's like, "You can see we're fucking your friends up. Let all these people go or we'll kill you too."
Cool. So you cast Suggestion. Roll. So this guy makes a Wisdom save?
That is correct.
He rolled a 16 on the die, so plus 3 because he's sort of a
wise fellow.
A robot monk, if you will.
I see.
So that's 19. So he does not get affected.
All right. Well, you know, it was worth a shot.
He was like, I could make more brothers.
I already have. And points to the table.
Why don't you make some sisters, you sexist?
Honestly, you're right.
Okay. All right. I guess that's my turn. Is there anything else in the space that looks like I could, like, you know, chuck at them or pick up or throw any machine? There's like, we're in a machine shop. Is there anything in here that looks like it would be like
well,
a
you use your action, so there's not really, I don't think there's gonna
I'm not gonna do anything with it. I'm just sort of curious about what's in here.
Yeah, I mean, there's like stuff around. I think it's like you notice things that are interesting, like the de-domesticator in the back corner, and like you know, it doesn't feel like anything you can do in like a few seconds.
Got it.
So
okay,
yeah. Brenda Elizabeth, you're up.
All right, the sparkly archer throws, I believe, her final guiding bolt.
Whoa.
That's going to be an 18 on the die, so I think it's going to fucking hit.
Yes!
25.
That hits.
Yes!
16 radiant damage.
Whoa. Okay.
And then...
he's still pretty beefy.
Okay. Going to go for my archer, my bonus action arrow. A 1 I could reroll.
Jesus. Wow.
14 bucks! Yeah, that's going to hit. It's like 23. That's 4 plus 4 is going to be 8. So another 8 damage. And then Brenda Elizabeth is trying to get her fucking horse back. So she is going to action surge and cast create bonfire on this fucker.
Holy shit.
So
it's
going to be 2d8 fire damage. He has to pass a dex 15 save, so he really might because he's a monk, but...
okay, he's pretty dexterous. Let's see. He got an 18 on the die, so he passes
So he passes, but he'll still take... oh, I rolled an 8 and a 4. So he'll still take 6 damage, I believe.
Okay.
Hot. Actually, the creature... never mind. I don't think he takes any damage if he passes.
He hops over it like a cool guy. Cool guy.
Damn, he's so cool.
He says, "Watch this." He's pretty hurt, but he's still like eyeing that portal out of here, and it's his turn. He's gonna make his way for it, but as he goes, Astrid, you have a reaction to hit.
Ooh, yes, I do. How exciting. Oh, I miss him so bad. I rolled a 4, so an 11.
Okay, so that will miss for sure.
Great. Unless, can I reckless attack on an opportunity attack? Probably not.
Let me double check. Okay, so I'm reading that likewise, if you make a reckless attack during your turn and then a reaction during your turn allows you to make another attack, then it will be a reckless attack.
Oh, so what?
Well, so you haven't gone since the last time you did it, so this is still
so it's still reckless.
Attack.
Great. Okay. So, ooh, with a... 13.
Okay. All right. That misses as well.
Okay.
Where's
he running? Where's
dives in a tube out of the combat and escapes.
God damn.
Oh.
So you guys have exited combat. You're in this lab. I'll say you can just like, you have enough time to open the thing and let
the goop canisters
your fellow...
the goop canisters? Open the goop canisters.
Yes, goop.
You open the goop canister. It spills out on the floor. It's disgusting. A bunch of people Galfast fall out.
I give Galfast CPR.
I also let Noah off the table, just so he knows we didn't forget about it. We weren't, like, just so enamored by goop that we forgot about it.
I'm looking at this goop like, this is satisfying. I think I can monetize this. Yeah. She's gonna have the first slime empire of Aberdeen.
Everybody make an investigation check, if you will.
Damn, I rolled really well.
Not great. 9.
That is a 24 for me.
Okay, dirty 20 for Brenda Elizabeth.
You guys are looking around. This is a crazy room full of weird gizmos and stuff. You remember the conversation those guys had about, like, you're noticing who's missing. The conversation the guy had about, like, this version of the thing was a failure, two versions of a failure, one version of a success, and you're looking at three robots on a table. Two look kind of powered down, one a larger one that Brent Elizabeth, you already realized maybe is familiar to you, possibly it is Mop.
The human? Is the hippie human?
Yeah. It sounded like one of them was viable, and that one looks viable of these three, even if you don't understand what is going on.
Okay, I guess I put my small halfly body across so that he can't activate.
Oh, I'll also say this. In that blurb, the guy also said he hasn't been reprogrammed yet.
Oh, okay. That I tap on Mop. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
All right. I guess he was.
What's up?
I guess he needs a kiss from a true love.
Hang on, what? Hold
Make
on.
Way! I push Astrid and Brenda Elizabeth outside and
your
plant
first
a smacker.
Kiss will be one to remember. No,
plant a smacker right on Mop.
What the fuck? Mop does a cartwheel and rips out of his restraints and like does a flip into the corner and like Spider-Man on the side of the room. Hang on, guys.
Oh, I misread this totally.
Turbine, did you get it? Did you touch lips to lips? What did it feel like?
How do you feel about having been turned into a van?
He thinks about that for a second. He's like, what? What are you? And he looks at himself and he understands what you're talking about. Oh, my God. Wait, so I'm a van now?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't all our bodies just vans that we ride around in life?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like to think of my body as a limousine.
I cross out that thought in my doodle book.
No, common misconception about vans and bodies, actually.
Mop thinks about it really hard for a second, and you see him just sort of, like, transform into a little tiny van.
Oh, he's a transformer!
Wow, I guess I am a van. Brent Elizabeth, you notice that Galfast has, like, gone up to the domesticator and is, like, nuzzling it with his nose.
Galfast, I thought that you were feral already, but this is your chance to be feral. And I say feral because feral horses are ones that have descended from domesticated creatures, you know, compared to, say, a Mustang or a Brumby.
Just kind of, you know, just, like, makes, like, an actual noise.
Galfast, like, it is time to be your own horse. Go, go.
Make way! And I push them aside and I kiss Galfast on the lips.
What?
No, I'm sorry. I misread the situation again. I misread it again.
Galfast, if you'd like to live in luxury, there's always a position in my staff.
Oh,
Galfast doesn't know what you're talking about at all.
Galfast, horse. Wait. Understand, if you don't speak English, I don't know what we're going to do with you.
Galfast positions himself in front of the laser. nods at everyone.
I take a huge swig of cabbage soup from my thermos and I lean hard on the activate button.
You activate the de-domesticator. It starts shaking with energy and a bright, like, purple charge starts charging in sort of a sphere in front of it. It crackles with energy and it just keeps crackling, and then it hits Galfast in the chest. And he just sits there perfectly still as this thing is blasting him in the chest. It's like kind of irradiating him. It's almost hard to look at. The light is so bright. It starts pulsing with energy. He gets brighter and brighter and brighter until there's sort of a big purple flash. Roll a d20 and tell me what you get.
D20, okay. 5. Yeah.
Okay, it was just basically a coin flip.
Okay.
So that's it, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
the light deactivates from the laser, but it's still sort of bright in the room. As you look at Galfast, his mane's gotten a lot longer. His tail is even longer. He is now, he almost looks like the night sky. It's like purple and pink, and it's glittery. He has a long goatee.
Whoa!
That is swirling with purple, and long like hair on the above his hooves. That's like really this like just very full looking purple, like this like fuchsia, and all these other colors are mixed in with it as well. You rolled a 5. I simplified this table that accompanies this.
Okay.
Galfast is now a Valinar steed.
Oh. Whoa.
Brenda Elizabeth takes a knee before Galfast and says, "Whatever you wish, I work in your service now. I renounce all earthly bonds. Sorry, Bonk, but I can't be your girlfriend like I know you wish, for I am in service of Galfast."
I start playing a very touching tune.
Bonk spits out some more goop like he's been throwing up in
the corner for a little bit. Please, save your sobbing for when I don't have to see it and think of what could have been.
As you look at Galfast, he looks back at you. You feel like some sort of magical connection forming between the two of you. There's something happening here, and essentially, after observing you for a little bit, he is now magically bonded to you. That means that while bonded, the steed and the bonded creature can communicate telepathically with each other at a distance up to 100 feet.
Wow. We could go to two different parties and still talk to each other.
But your role was for this. I was going to see which of his ancestral traits you get. But I simplified it a little bit between the two that I thought were good. So now he has Fae Step once a day as well.
Whoa. Fae Step rules.
That's so cute because I'm Fae touched.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Large Fae.
Wow.
Yeah. And he says to you, "Galfast, yes, that was my name long ago, but not the true name of me."
Do you?
And not because
I know I am unworthy, but would you grace me with what your true name is so that I may doodle it
quickly so Zach doesn't have time to think?
My name, an ancient name, it's been there for years and years, and not me just thinking years.
Hurry up.
No. My name is Dazzle Rouse.
Dazzle Rouse, a worthy name.
Ancient name, if ever I have heard one. So you come from the people of Sparkles?
Yes, there is.
Tell us more about the people who named you.
My father named me, and my mother.
What were their names?
What were their names?
What were their names? If you consider us worthy, of course, Galfast. I mean, Dazzle
Rouse. Dazzle Rouse.
It is Dazzle Rouse. My father was named Razzle Dazz. And my mother, Daz.
Wow, that's confusing.
Look, we can't dwell on this too long. I'm only talking.
Did you have siblings? I'm so sorry.
Oh, yes,
did
telepathic.
Did you have any siblings? Or were you an only child? Because I'm kind of an only child. At least I think. I don't know who my parents are or if I have siblings, but I have a lot of grandparents.
I have a sister named Gazzle Shabs. And a brother named Fazzle Raz. Look, that guy escaped. Things are going down. Feels like we have to focus up a little bit.
Absolutely.
And you're right. Wait, I can't hear you. I'm just looking at Brenda Elizabeth having a one-sided conversation. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Everybody watches Brenda Elizabeth stare at this horse for quite a long time. And Tranix is like, we kind of have to hurry. It seems like shit's about to go down. And that's where we'll end.
Shut up, Tradix. I give you bardic inspiration for nothing.
I'm sorry. That's all for today. We'll be back next week with another Arc Bark. Appreciate everybody listening. Hope everyone has a great new year. Got to be better than this year, right?
It can't be worse, right?
Don't say that.
Knock on wood.
Oh my god. Don't put that out there into the world.
Can't possibly be worse.
I'm not even a superstitious person, and I don't, please don't say that.
only positivity in 2021. All right, everybody. see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to get all new episodes months early and hear the exclusive Arc Barks over on our Patreon.
Zach Oyama was your Dungeon Master for this episode, and the characters were Emily Axford playing Brenda Elizabeth, Mike Trapp was Turbine's Pizzles Inc., and Siobhan Thompson is Astrid Starborn. This episode was edited and produced by Zach Oyama and Jasper William Cartwright.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.